You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
You like that? Yeah. To God be the glory. One day we'll learn more about that. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 26, if you would. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, will you lift your hand? We got some guys that will bring you a Bible. Okay. Very good. Let me thank you for taking your caps off, too. I appreciate that. Now, let me tell you this about that Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then feel free to keep that one. That'll be the rec room's gift to you. So you just, now, tonight, if you don't want to keep it, you have one at the room or at home or something, then if you'll just lay it on the table as you go out, don't leave it laying in the seat. Just lay it on the table as you go out, then we can collect them up. But if you'd like to have it, feel free to have it. 26th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to read some verses. And while you're going to that, let me kind of give you a little background of this. Because it's kind of, there's some similarities. We live in some really changing, unique times. There's a lot of unrest today in America. There's a lot of unemployment, even in Odessa. There's the unrest of not knowing what's going to happen, what is next. With the oil spill, it will begin to affect us soon, like seafood, even out here in West Texas. There's things that are affecting our lives that we have no control over. We live in a confusing time, and the fact that most of you, what you were taught to believe, and some of the things you believe that were wrong are now considered right, and what you were taught to believe that was wrong, right is now considered wrong. Let me give you an example. The perversion. Today it's legalized and you're sneered at if you don't welcome it. I'm not talking about just putting up with it. I'm talking about welcoming. We've got these things going. Traditional values are scoffed. On the other hand, things that used to be right or now wrong. You can't have prayer in school. Don't take a Bible in school. It's interesting that the only thing that God wrote, people don't want around. God only wrote one thing. I'm not talking about the Bible. Now, He had men to write it. He gave them the words, but they wrote it. Like you dictate a letter. But God, with His finger, wrote the Ten Commandments on the Mount. Yes, sir. And people don't want that. You would think that we'd be wanting to put them up and say, hey, this is what God wrote. We've got something that God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. Somebody sent me an email. I showed it to my granddaughter today. It was from the Hubble telescope. And the things that are sitting out there in space taking these pictures and in orbit. And it began to show the size of planets. And they talked about the Earth and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn. But then there were planets that they've discovered that I'd not heard of. And they begin to give comparisons. And in each comparison, when they introduced a new planet, the Earth got smaller. And in the last picture, you couldn't see the Earth. It was a little bitty dot. I got a magnifying glass on my desk. not that I'm getting old and can't see. I just got a magnifying glass, all right? Not in your business, Father. But you could barely see. It was just a pinpoint of the size of the earth as compared to the sun and these other planets. It was fascinating. I had no idea. And now we think we're big shots. And we wouldn't make a pimple. I'll not finish that. See? And man thinks that he's running things. And he's in control. And we're going to do it this way. Things are just out of sync pretty much. And you know this. I was thinking, talk about out of sync. If I went over here to play this guitar, you want to hear out of sync? Goodness. Now, Charles can sit down that guitar and make beautiful music. The ladies can get over here. I can give you out of sync. Let me turn that keyboard on. You talk about out of sync, and that's pretty much the way we are when it comes to the things of God. What I want to talk to you about tonight is the last thing the world wants to see. Now, there are a lot of things the world doesn't want to see, but the last thing they don't want to see, we're going to talk about it. And Jesus spoke of it 2,000 years ago in a time a lot like ours. Because 2,000 years ago, God's nation, Israel, was under Roman rule. The Roman Empire was one of the most cruel empires of the four worldwide empires. It was the last and the most cruel. It was a cruel. They're the ones that, for capital punishment, had crucifixion. They were a cruel outfit. And a man came along. And the nation of Israel was looking for a Messiah. And a man began to fulfill everything that the Scripture said the Messiah would be. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He fed the thousands. He raised the dead. He turned water to wine. All of these things they saw and they loved, except one thing. Don't tell us what to do. Now, don't you tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. Bible said, we'll not have this man reign over us. They wanted the goodies. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to hear it so bad that by the time he was 33, they put a contract on him. We're going to get him. You know who put the contract on him? Religious crowd. They've always been against him. It wasn't the drug addicts and the hookers. Now, they didn't stand up for him either, so don't get proud. But they want him, and they got one of his own to betray him. They said, we'll give you money, and usually that'll do it, won't it? I mean, we'll do just like the guy that sat down in the bar. And he said, turned to this young lady and said, would you go to bed with me for $1 million? And she looked at him and said, are you serious? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, you don't have $1 million. He said, I got $1 million. She thought on it. She said, yes, I would. He sat there a minute, sipped on his drink, and he said, would you go to bed with me for $5? She said, how dare you? What do you think I am? He said, we've already established that. Now we're drinking an overprice. What's our price? Hey, here's a man that they hate. It's his last night on earth. He's eaten supper with his 12. Knowing that one of them has already sold him out. And yet he remained kind. He remained nice. to the very time that he comes back to betray him. And that's where we're going to pick it up. He's been in the garden. After supper, he took the leaven, went to the garden, went to praying, and began to pray, God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So in verse 46, Matthew 26, verse 46 is where we're going to start reading. And he said, rise, let us be going. Jesus is speaking. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Here they came to the light of the world with some lamps, and came to the Prince of Peace with some swords. And he never created them any problem. And he said, now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss. He didn't say whoever I'm going to point out, whoever I'm going to accuse. He said, whoever I'm going to kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. This is a guy that walked with Jesus, let him see everything about him. Jesus let him heal people. Jesus let him be there when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Jesus took him into his very confidence. And Judas could find nothing wrong with him. But for the money, he betrayed him. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And if you'll search Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time that Judas talked to Jesus Christ, he called him Master. Never called him Lord. You know why? You can't call him Lord without the Holy Spirit. See? He called him Lord. You remember the little lady taken in adultery? And he said, where are thine accusers? And she said, they're all gone, Lord. She recognized him as Lord. Men had addressed him as Lord because he was their Lord, not Master. But he said, Master. Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, friend. Notice that. Friend. He didn't say, you crooked, no good. He said, friend. Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And he went, by the way. If you saw the movie, The Passion of Christ, they got that all mixed up. They're beating him, dragging him. He voluntarily went. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And we find out in another gospel, in the Gospel of Luke, that this is Peter. This reveals to us that Peter is a fisherman. He's not a swordsman, obviously. Because he doesn't do anything now other than cut off a guy's ear. And that's the way most of us do stuff. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what we've done, we cut off our ears. They don't hear anything because we're fighting with them. See? Like Peter was. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? Notice what Jesus said. I'm still in control of this. Don't worry about that, Peter. Put your sword up. Don't think for a minute I can't call 12 legions of angels. Now, I had a time with this because it says that a Roman legion is 6,000. Now, I got a calculator along with that magnifying glass. I've got a calculator on my desk, too. And 12 legions times 6,000 is what? And he, 72,000 angels. He said, I'm called 72,000 angels. Now that ought to get people's attention, oughtn't it? 72,000. And then I have to think, over in the, and I had to go to my computer concordance to find out where the verse was. But over in the Old Testament, it said one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. One angel killed 185,000. I said, I wonder how many that'd be. If the 72,000 got 185,000 apiece, how many people would they have killed? Do you know what? My calculator couldn't handle it. I'm saying, I got one of them little calculators that didn't have room for all the zeros. It's over 13 billion people. You think Christ is not in control and these people there, the high priest, the Pharisees, they're big shots on Jerusalem, they're big shots in their religion. And Jesus said, nobody panic. I can call 12 legions of angels. Now, this shows you that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Because if he'd been a man, he'd have called them. I mean, if they're coming out after me, I'm calling them. He said, just take care of it. Get a hold of it. He said, I can do that. But he said, the Scripture is going to be fulfilled. One thing, he loved the Scripture. And throughout the Old Testament, the prophecy was that the Messiah would come and be crucified. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us about it. Other places tell us about him. Before he could be king, he had to be Savior. And he said, the Scripture's going to be fulfilled. Then in verse 55, in the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief? Come out, out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sit daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. You knew where I was all the time. We haven't done this in the back room. We're not a cult. We're not something that's tried to hide over here. Don't let anybody in on our secret meetings. He said, I was ever in the temple. You could come and hear what I spoke in the daylight. I spoke out loud. I spoke where people could hear it. So why are you making such a big deal about this? But all this was done, verse 56, that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. I was thinking today as I was over here doing some things, getting prepared for tonight. They all forsook him and fled. The best that he had forsook him and fled. And you know what I would have too? They ran for fear of their lives. I've ran when the worst anybody's going to do to me was tease me, make fun of me. I've turned my back on Jesus Christ a multitude of times. And the worst thing that would happen to me, somebody call me names, tease me. I've failed to stand up for him time in and time out. And never had to fear for my life. We live in a country where it's still okay for you to trust Jesus Christ. We live in a country where it's still all right for you to pray. We live in a country still all right for you to have a Bible and read it. It's still all right to talk with people about Jesus, to go to church, to have church. We still have that kind of freedom. And yet, we all forsake him and flee. Now then, verse 57, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. He didn't take them to the law enforcement people, didn't take them to the sheriff, didn't take them to chief police. He said, you need to arrest this guy, he's causing trouble. He took them to the religious headquarters. Peter followed him afar off to the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the councils sought false witness. I've never seen this before. They didn't seek witnesses. They went out looking for people that would lie. They're seeking false witnesses to come and tell them something about Jesus that they can charge him with. Now let me tell you something. There's not anybody in here that would take very long. You can pick anybody in here, and it won't take us long to find something to charge you with or find something to charge me with. Especially if you got a kangaroo court like this. And they bring him in. Now remember who he is. He's not hurt a one of them. He's not ever gone in and cussed them out. He's not ever gone in and create problems. He's not tried to start trouble with them. He's just been a witness day in and day out. And they sought fault witnesses again and put and for this reason, a witness to put him to death. They want to kill this man. It's not that they want to exile him. It's not that they want to incarcerate him. They want him dead. And notice what happens. They found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And these false witnesses were wrong. Jesus has never said that. Jesus said, destroy this temple, pointing to his body, and I will raise it in 3 days. And that's exactly what he's getting ready to do when they crucify. He never said anything about destroying the temple that they all worshiped at. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that you tell us where thou be Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, Jesus has said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What thank ye? They answered, he's guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is it that smote thee? Notice this guy asked a religious question. Jesus gives him the answer and he throws fit. I hear people say, well, brother, you know, I like to be preached to. Well, preach to them, see how they like. Well, I like for somebody to get up there and tell me the truth. Tell them the truth, see how they like it. See? That's not what we want to hear. He asked Jesus, he said, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, yes, I am. And he gets mad about it. And he never proved that he wasn't. They have no proof. We got, all they got is false witnesses. People standing around sucking their thumb. And notice what Jesus said. And here's the one thing this world does not want to see. Back in verse 64, he said, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He said, you know what you're going to see, Cephas? You ask me if I'm he. You ask me if I'm the Messiah. Let me tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see me coming in the power of heaven. You're going to look up and I'm coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's not what that high priest wanted to hear. And you know why? Nothing has changed. He's still coming. He's still coming. And that's the last thing that the world wants to see is Jesus Christ come. We don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. Now, you can still talk about God some, and that's okay. And now we got all kind of gods. We've got a multiplicity of gods. We've got all kind. We've got Buddha, and we've got the Muslim religion, and Christianity, and New Age, and we got everything. You can just, it's like a smorgasbord. What do you want? Come in here to the religious cafeteria. Pick what you want. Three things, real quickly. Jesus Christ is coming as a judge. For 33 and a half years, he didn't judge. But the world judged him and crucified him. And God the Father said, now, son, you're going to be the judge. I'm giving judgment to you. And Jesus Christ is coming as judge. Number two, Jesus Christ is coming as king. Men have always wanted to run stuff. They wanted to run other people. They wanted to control other people. They want to do it their way. Can't do that. Jesus Christ is coming as king. And then he's coming as the last word. The Gospel of John started out and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 14 verses later it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He began as the Word, and that's how he's going to finish. He will have the last word because he is the last word. I don't care where you are tonight. He will have the last word. Now here's what's beautiful about all of this. This hadn't happened yet. When he comes, then the door is closed. Won't be any second chances then. But just as it were then, so is it tonight. This Son of Man that came to seek and to save which is lost is still doing it. He's still saving people. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around, just for a second. You're here. God has spoken to you. You know in your heart of hearts that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. If you know that, would you just quietly slip up your hand, indicating that you want me to pray for you? You say, Leland, pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand. Yours, 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 yours. Yep. A lot of hands. God bless you. Yeah. We're going to pray in just a moment. And then here's what I want you to do. While I pray, I want you to pray. And you pray, Lord Jesus, please save me. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting. I want you to be my Lord. It's that simple. I want you to ask Him to do that while I pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, You saw the hands. You know the hearts. We can't hide things from You. So tonight I pray that You'd give those, and maybe those that didn't even lift their hand, the courage, the strength, the boldness, step out for You and say, yes, I'll stand for Jesus. I'll take His side. I want to be on His side when He comes. We ask these things in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes are still closed? Would you stand? And would you come? If you want to trust Christ tonight, say, I want to turn my life over to Him, I'm going to ask you to come. Put your hand in mine and you and I are going to pray. Or someone will pray with you here. Would you come right now, as Charles sang? Thank you so much for your attention. I hope that in your heart of hearts that you ask Him to come into there. The most important decision you'll ever make is what you're going to do with Jesus. He never holds a gun to anybody's head. They came with swords and staves for Him. He never went to anybody with swords and staves. But He'll take you to heaven. God bless you. The bar is open. Go get you some goodies. Have a great time. Remember that if you want the Bible, keep it. If not, turn it in. Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.